And like I was telling a friend, man, the other day that one thing, the Course in Miracles group that I really try to emphasize as much as I can is that it's really not about whether or not we believe it. It's not whether or not when a person comes to class, whether or not they believe me or whether or not they see what I'm saying is credulous or not. We all going to have our judgments about whatever we hear. We all going to decide whether we like it or whether we don't. You know, that's just what time it is. But what's cool about it is that when you look at it in terms of it's not an accident being here, and so therefore there might be some message that the universe or your higher self or your inner guide is trying to get to you, then you're going to edit out whatever it is that doesn't apply, and then you'll hear what might be the one sentence that's the thing that you're okay, that gives me the answer that I was looking for. And so I find that it's a lot more helpful that way, because it's very seldom that anyone completely understands the Course in Miracles who drop in on it the first time, and you know, it's true of people who've been doing it 10 years, they still kind of like working on that. So the whole idea that I'm going to grasp everything and accept everything, hey, that I hear today, I think that, you know, if you let go of that one, the whole experience would be a lot more enjoyable. But if we look for what our message is today, we'll cover a lot of territory. So we were talking from a real interesting area last week about that accepting that sickness, which is any form of lack of peace, any form of lack of peace. The Course in Miracles describes a sickness, not necessarily what's going on with your body in terms of physical illness, but it's any form of lack of peace. And it says that that's a decision of the mind for a purpose that your mind wants to use your body. So it says that if you really want a healing in a situation, you have to realize that whatever you're going through is a decision of your mind for a purpose that you'd like to use your body right now. And if you recognize that, then it opens the door to have a healing in any area of your life that you need a healing in when you realize it's directly connected to your mind. Now, there are two ways of looking at it. Usually when a person is new to metaphysical thought, and metaphysical thought is basically based on the idea that thought is created in your beliefs, that's what's creating your reality, that's what's drawing things to you, that's what sets aside so-called new thought or metaphysical thought from traditional or conventional thought. One is based on the idea that, you know, basically the world is based on the idea that we're basically reacting to a lot of forces beyond our control that we're trying to cope with. And a thought that's coming from a true spiritual identity is coming from the idea that you are an unlimited being that creates through your consciousness and your mind and your feelings and your emotions and your beliefs. And you literally manifest and draw things to you based on that. That's the idea that the Course talks about, and most truth books talk about it, that people have the greatest resistance to. The idea that the greatest resistance that people tend to have, especially when they're upset or unhappy, is that they're the ones that's creating the way that they're feeling about it. They're the one that's creating that situation. People tend to be real happy to accept the idea that they created it if it's something they like. If it's something coming down that they don't like, that's the hardest thing in the world for somebody to go, well, I'm responsible for that, okay? So I know that. So we're going to all just agree that we won't always feel good about everything that we hear. But what's cool about that is that if you can't accept the idea that you're creating your reality and you're literally drawing everything that happens to you, then you can jump it up to the next level that the Course in Miracles is talking about, which even more, which is the level of perception. Which is the fact that everything that's happening to you, no matter what it is, you're the one determining how you see it. So most people can always get to that whether you created it or I created it, I'm still the one determining how I feel about it and how I react to it. So can we pretty much, even if that reaction is based on programming that we got a long time ago that wasn't even correct programming, you know. It's amazing how many people have abandonment issues, abandon people. You know, and so when they go into a relationship, they're halfway expecting it not to last from the time they enter into it, and then they subconsciously create a situation, usually where the person does leave, or they do, and then they get a chance to say, see, I was totally right about that. People abandoned me. No, you was an asshole. But, a holy one. We want to be spiritual. This is a spiritual class. We're going to make sure we keep, but long as you say anything, as long as you stick holy in front of it, everything will be cool. You know what I'm saying? So then the Course says, well, if you decide that you want to be healed, then he says, then you're healed. So who is the physician? The Course says only the mind of the patient or the person themselves. In other words, the outcome is going to be whatever you decide the outcome is going to be. And I love the special agents seem to be ministering to you, yet the special agents but give form to your own choice. You choose the special agents in order to bring tangible form to your desires. And so whatever it is you do in the outer to symbolize whatever you want to manifest, that's all they do. They just symbolize your willingness to have it in the first place. They're the way that you bring about your tangible desire. It's almost like at a physical level, if you decide to lose 10 pounds, then the way you're going to do that is to jog. Okay? From a truth perspective, you can really say, I have no more use for the 10 pounds, and then the 10 pounds will be gone at once. But that's much too far advanced in our idea of what we're capable of. So we come up with what we think we need in the world as an intermediary to whatever it is the thing we think we want. And the Course calls that the special agents that we come up with, whether it's coming to a class or whether it's going jogging or whether it's taking a seminar or whatever we do in the outer is just symbolic of the way that we are trying to manifest whatever our goal is. So we can see that's pretty true. So the Course teaches that whatever the thing is that you're doing to achieve your goal, that it loses value and becomes meaningless as your goal is achieved. So, you know, if I'm trying to change my tire and I get the jack, then as I change my tire, the jack becomes valueless and meaningless the closer I get to my goal. But once I change my tire, I throw the jack back in the trunk and I really don't think about the jack until the next time, right? It's there, but you're really not thinking about it. So the means actually becomes less important to you as you begin to achieve the goal. So there's an interesting statement where it says in the book, do you want freedom of the body or freedom of the mind? Because you're going to use the other one as the means to get the other one. In other words, if I decide I want to have a free mind, a free thought, a free attitude, a free consciousness, a free being, then I'm going to use my body to come up with ways to achieve my mental freedom. So then I come to a class or I go to a meeting. But what am I doing that with? I'm doing it with my body. I drove up over here. I use my body. So I'm really using my body to free my mind right now. Okay? But the Course says what most people do is shoot for freedom of the body. And so they're trying to come up with ideas all the time for ways they can free their body instead of freeing their mind. They're trying to come up with more ways my body can be free to do whatever I want to do with my body. And I want my body's pleasure. And I want my body's comfort. So I'm trying to come up with a way to put my body in a bigger house, my body in a bigger car, my body in some nicer clothes, my body in a nicer relationship, my body in a nicer body. Right? Hello? You know? Okay. So I'm coming up with ways to get that body. That happens mostly on the weekends, right? So I'm using my mind to figure out a way to free my body. And so what happens, the Course says, is the more you achieve your goal, then the less the means become important. So the more I focus on my bodily goal, the less important communication in the mind becomes to me. That's why a lot of times in relationships, the most communication happens before the body connection. Because once the physical joining happens, well, that for a lot of people, that was the goal anyway, was to get to the body. So they talked a lot. It's a lot of conversation, a lot of communication until the physical goal is reached. You know, I talk to my real estate agent until I get the house. When I get the house, there's no more need to communicate with my, you know what I'm saying? So communication, the Course is saying the communication in the mind actually decreases in importance to us once we get closer to our physical goal. But the smart consciousness is the one that wants to use the body to free their mind. Because the mind is much more unlimited than the body is. And we all know that. That you know, the body is very much more limited in what it, because the body doesn't think. So therefore, the body certainly couldn't be more unlimited than the mind is. And so, so the Course is trying to get us to get that everything is really happening at the level of mind. And then it through belief, which is the acceptance of it, then it begins to manifest in the physical reality, in the physical plane. In the three-dimensional world that we live in, we have time, right? But the purpose of time is really to give us an opportunity to adjust and to get ready for the physical manifestation of that which we're focusing on. Because most of us wouldn't be ready to have our thought manifest instantaneously. It would freak us out. If you said right now, I'd like a flat screen TV and it appeared right in the middle of this circle, it would freak you out. Even if you think you're ready for it, it would probably freak you out. If you think you know, are you ready for it? I don't think so. You know what I mean? So what I'll do is I'll have a desire and then it'll look like I went through these steps before I actually got it. But really, that was me allowing myself to get to the point that I could accept having it. If I could have accepted having it as soon as I asked for it, it would have, the manifestation of it would have speeded up quite a bit. If I'm not afraid to have it, there's no block to it manifesting. And so it happens quicker when you're not afraid of it. And when you're not afraid of it, you can tell, because one of the characteristics of not being afraid of it would be you would have peace if you had it, and you would have peace if you didn't have it, but you'd like to have it. It would be a preference and not an addiction. That's when you're not afraid of it. You know, like a lot of times if I want to see if I'm addicted to something, I'll just simply see if I could do without it for a week or two. You know, if I absolutely can't not do that, then I know I'm addicted to it. It's just, it's not really that hard to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? If I say, am I addicted to TV? Of course I'm just trying to stay informed. Okay, but if I can't cut it off, then I'm addicted to it. You know, if I'm not okay, if it's not happening, then I'm addicted to it. You know, so that means that I have some fear around that, and I've made it out of an idol. And so if it's not there, I'm going to give my peace away. If I give my peace away, now I'm non-right-minded, right? And so now the Course says you've gone into sickness. So sickness is really of the mind. It's not really of the body. Okay, first I get sick in my mind, then I see it manifested in my physical body. And that's why there are a lot of books that you can buy that will tell you what physical illnesses correspond to what mental attitudes. So sometimes you can work back from the illness to the thought that's creating it. If you got a heart trouble, that's pretty obvious. You know, you got some issues around love. You got some issues around, you know, you got a problem with your lungs. You got issues around letting life in, taking it in, breathing it out. If you have a problem with your knees, obviously you might have some issues around flexibility, being able to bend. You know what I'm saying? If you got neck problems all the time, you might have some problems around being willing to look at things more than one way. So you real fixed. If you blind, or if you wear glasses like me, it's pretty obvious what that's about, you know. You know, I have a little problem seeing things clearly, you know. So that's why this book was attractive to me, you know. This would be a trip when I was a kid to have eyes big as mine wearing glasses. That was a whole other traumatic experience. It was like people, you got eyes that big and you need to wear glasses. Something is definitely going on here. But it was a trip. It was a trip. But fortunately, I'm not my eyes, so I got a chance to, you know. And it's funny, the thing that you ridicule at one point can become the thing that people relate to the most later. You know, now a lot of times it's the thing that people will use to say that's why they felt connected to me, was when they looked in my eyes. You see what I'm saying? So what's so cool about the Course is that it teaches that everything that you ever used to hurt yourself, and you have to hear this with discretion, whatever you use to hurt yourself, if you're listening to your higher self, whatever that is can be used as a way of waking you up. Now, that doesn't mean you are necessary to repeat that same thing, but it does mean that it could be used to make you more aware. You know, it can make you more aware of something you need to know. So it's not like you have to repeat some kind of behavior you see as being negative, and this time it'll be okay. It could be just simply you seeing that was a call for love, that was a call for help, that was your need to reach for a higher goal within yourself. Just whatever way you look at it, that you stop looking at it as a curse and you look at it as a blessing. So anyway, that was basically what we covered, you know, last week. And any questions about that? Any comments about that not so quick review? How many of y'all still have a lot of resistance to the idea that you create your reality? Anybody feel like that's a drag? Anybody feel pretty cool about that? Even if it means accepting that even the stuff you didn't like, you would have wanted made that also?
I have one.
Okay, there we go. One.
My big one is what someone else can do to you
mm-hmm.
unexpectedly
mm-hmm.
that could cause trauma
mm-hmm.
or pain mm-hmm. or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that, and people call that karma.
Yeah, some people call it, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ways of looking at it.
Right.
It is karma. What do you think about karma? Does the karma ring true with you?
I think it sucks.
Thank you for sharing.
I don't know. I mean, I have an experience that I have no idea where that kind of karma came from.
Because mm-hmm.
there's nothing in my life that could create mm-hmm. that kind of issue.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. It was the karma from a past life.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I must have been wicked.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Really? I'm so glad to hear I'm not.
But I bet you, even though both of you all were wicked, I bet you made sure that y'all was still cute.
I have no idea.
I bet you were. It's amazing what you can get away with when you're cute. But
that's a real thought from
everyone. Okay, and I really trust that that issue, your higher self is going to resolve that issue.
Well, it took me years.
Yeah.
I decided I had to just start over again and
experience
life with that.
Yeah. I know each one of us probably have our belief about what we think is causing whatever it is that we don't like, you know. And is there anybody that feel comfortable enough to share what they think causes whatever it is that's happening in their life?
Well, the simplistic explanation for karma is we introduce these people, places, and things into our lives.
I didn't invite this person in my life.
Okay, but I'm telling you, this is a good point. But what I'm asking right now is just for people to share their beliefs, not so much as trying to change your beliefs about it. You know what I'm saying? I just want to hear what people think.
But I'm just trying to understand. It's like, you know, you don't invite other substance in, yet they're there.
Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to entertain the idea that that's the way you perceive it more so than that necessarily the way that it is?
That maybe we create the circumstances that lead you to that.
No, what I'm saying is, would you be willing to entertain the idea that whatever you are saying is your perception? Because that's the key.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Because what happens is that we have a tendency to say our perceptions as if they're facts. Mm-hmm. And then the game becomes, can I get you to agree with my perception, or my perception has to be wrong in order for your perception to be right. That somehow or another we need to agree with each other. Somehow or another somebody needs to say, well, you know, what you're saying is right, and that's what I agree with. And what I found is that that's one of the biggest limitations to the expansion of consciousness that people do to themselves. Is their need to have agreement. Their need to have someone go, well, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm wrong, you're right. And so what the Course says is that is what really generates the conflict that we experience in this plane. It's everybody wants the same thing. They want peace or happiness, however they define it. Where we all clash is on the means that we go about achieving that. So if I was to really get that each one of you had your individual curriculum, then that would let go of my need to feel like what I just said was wrong because it's not the way you look at it. Because on my spiritual path, I might need to be in a teaching that says the body is an illusion. On your spiritual path, you might need to be in something that's giving the body a ton of apparent reality to you, that you need to study it, be involved with it, and everything. So you hear me say the body is an illusion, and then you get upset about it, like the spirit is trying to put the body down, but because for you it's very, very important, right? Well, then you know in your individual curriculum, for you it's very, very important, and so therefore you need to keep moving in that direction for yourself, because the further you awaken in consciousness, the fun part of it is you realize your innocence about expressing yourself. The challenging part of it is that you realize that you're on your own path, your own individual path, that you got to check in with your guide, and there's nobody else that you can compare or really necessary to get validation about your viewpoint. So you begin to have to let go of that desire that we have for other people to agree with our point of view. If you actually reach a point on the spiritual path, that delays you. So whenever I share about us sharing our opinions, I would love it if we could feel safe to do that without anybody else cross-talking or feel like they got to respond back about that, because we all know we're not going to agree on everything that we say. We know that. So if you don't agree with me, really, why do I need to know it? Why is it important for me to know that you don't see it the way I see it? It's not at all, really. It's not really important at all. But if I can sit down and listen to you say it and you feel totally comfortable about what you're saying, Then what you're going to do is you're going to feel safer and safer to express who you are, what you think, what you believe. The more you do that, the better I know you. And the better I know you, then the easier it is to get along with you. But let's say every time you say something, I jump in and tell you how I think is wrong or how I disagree with it. You know what's going to happen, right? You're going to stop talking to that person. That person is not going to know anything about you. And one day they're going to wake up and you're going to be gone if it's something that's really bothering you. And they'll say, you just abandoned me and you didn't talk to me. And the truth is, you were talking all the time, but they really wasn't listening. And so eventually that gets down to some physical act that has to take place. And so that's one of the things that I try to encourage in the, when I have smaller groups and we get a chance to do discussion, is to create a safe space for people to communicate without feeling like it's who's right and whose attitude, you know. So that somebody who doesn't believe in reincarnation will feel just as safe saying, I don't believe in reincarnation. And the person that says, I do believe in reincarnation will feel safe. The person that says, I do believe in karma will feel safe. And the person who doesn't will feel safe. And that's what happens when you just give people space to talk. You really join. That's when the joining really happens. But you will find your idol so fast when you hear another person's thoughts, because your emotional reaction to what they're saying will let you know how much you made your belief an idol. Your belief is so much an idol that if someone says something different than you believe, you get upset about it. So that means you've actually turned your belief into an idol. It's something that you'll give your peace away about. And you don't want anything to be something you'll ultimately give your peace away, the Course teaches. Because it's only when you have a peace of mind that you can hear the voice of your guidance. You can't hear your guidance over your conflicting thoughts. And so the part of us that doesn't want us to hear our guidance purposely makes us focus in on the thoughts and feelings and emotions that upset us all the time, so that we won't hear the voice for God, and we'll continue our ego-based reality, our separate reality. Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. So there's this kind of, the Course is saying this is the process that's going on all the time. It's a process of, I want to remember the truth, or I'm trying to do something to make myself forget the truth. That those are the two games that are going on. And the best way to forget the truth is through two things, it teaches, pleasure and pain. I can feel so much pleasure in the body that I don't think about God, truth, spirit, and nothing else because I'm too busy getting off on whatever it is I'm enjoying. Or I'm in such pain I can't begin to think of loving, peaceful thoughts. So you find that as a human being, our experience tends to swing back and forth between those two pendulums of extreme pleasure, that I'm so attached to all of this that I could never think to go to anywhere else, to extreme pain where God couldn't possibly be real and to be so much suffering and sacrifice in my life and in the world. You see what I'm saying? So the conscious being begins to recognize that that's a trick that their own ego mind is playing on them to keep them from going beyond pleasure and pain to what lasts forever. Because pleasure is nothing but a passing joy. And pain is also something that does not last permanently. And so the Course is saying what you really want is a joy that never ends, not one that feels good temporarily because some external thing seems to be going the way you think you want it to go right now. So now you're a happy person. You know, and that really is most people's definition of happiness. It's that the script that I've written for today is being acted out, so this is happiness. And then if the slightest thing go wrong, now I'm upset, Earl. And then people really think that's happy. So what they do is try to control everybody around them in order to get that picture that they made up in their mind that they think is going to make them happy manifested. And then their grievances come from what they feel to be other people interfering with that or not cooperating with it. Right? So the minute I make up a script for the people in my life, I'm really making a grievance factory. Because what's happening is when I come up with a script for you, especially one that I didn't, sure I need to do this because that's me, especially one that I didn't even talk to you about, then what I'll do when you don't act that out is I'll say stuff like, you don't support me. And you don't really get behind the things that I'm trying to do. So then I'm mad, right? And then I need to get some counseling. Right? And I'm really getting the counseling because people won't let me control them like I want to. And I need to forgive them for not letting me control them. I mean, really, that's what it really boils down to most of the time. There are always a little few exceptions. Let's face it, most of the time, it's my fantasy. It's not being acted out. You should be helping me act it out. So I try to keep that in mind every time I come up with my latest desire. Okay, Earl, don't make a grievance factory. Okay, it's okay for you to want to be happy. You make the mistake when you assign the roles to the people who are supposed to help the idea manifest. Your job is to focus on the goal, stay alert, and as the universe uses synchronicity and all other things to steer you and direct you, you stay aware of it and go in that direction because you have your goal clearly formulated in mind. So you know, since you got the goal, it's kind of makes it easier to tell which direction to go in terms of what situations show up, because you know what you want, right? But it'll come to you quicker if you don't decide who is supposed to be the one who gives it to you. Why? Because while I'm addicted to you giving it to me, and you don't want to, who it could come through is not being focused on or even seen. So I could have it today. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, I want to go to the fair with someone who really like to go to the amusement park. Okay, I like to go to the amusement park today. So we could go together. No, I want to go to the amusement park with him. Well, I hate amusement park. But you really, my friend, you go to the amusement park, even if you hate amusement park, and you really need to, and you need to get on your edge and learn how to expand beyond your limited perceptions of amusement parks. What kind of Course in Miracles students? You know what I'm saying? It's like, see what I'm doing? Rather than go, oh, you want to go to the amusement park? Let's go to the amusement park, because we both want to go to the amusement park right now, today. So me and you could go right now, but I'm spending all afternoon trying to get him to go. You see, but that's what happens, because, of course, we get addicted to the form of what we want instead of the purpose. Yeah.
I think there's a difference between joy and happiness. I think joy is lasting and happiness is temporary. One of the things that I read recently was using the statement, you're purple. If somebody says to you, you're purple, you know you're not purple. It doesn't matter what they said, because you know you're not purple.
Right.
So it has no meaning to you.
Right.
But if they say you're fat, or you're skinny, or you're ugly, or you're beautiful, you give it meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But if everything that happens to you, you just say, it's just like being purple. It's what I decide it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is either is or it isn't, in my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about your own reality and how you can accept that, I can kind of accept bad things happening to me. I definitely can accept good things happening to me, and that I control all that.
Mm-hmm.
What I can't accept is things that are external from me that I feel like I don't create,
mm-hmm.
like the war in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
the shootings at schools in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine that I'm creating that,
mm-hmm.
in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to get my arms around those things.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I know I bring bad things, mm-hmm. into my life, and I know I bring good things, mm-hmm. into my life. But those external things, I just can't wrap my arms around how I'm creating them.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you like feedback on that?
Yes.
Okay. When I'm talking from the Course, I'm always just using the definitions that Course gives for those terms. So from a Course Miracles perspective, pleasure is what's temporary, and happiness and joy is what's permanent. But that's just a matter of this. It just has its own interpretations of the same words. And that's the whole problem with language anyway.
Right.
Right? Okay. So that's why you get to a certain point that you have to kind of like intuit that you and the person talking about the same thing, even though you're using different words. It just kind of gets that point. Because that's the part that keeps us separated. It's the interpretations. The Course says that you're not even being asked to accept the truth at first from the level that you are the one that created it. That at the very beginning you want to walk in with the idea that what I know may not be all there is to know. That's where you start. You start with the idea that, you know, I really don't know everything. Okay? And let me add to what you're saying now. Instead of trying to accept the idea that I had anything to do with creating the war with Iraq, that's what I'm saying, you would drop down to the, not really drop down, but just come from that other perspective of, I am responsible for the way that I'm responding to the war in Iraq. And so from a Course perspective, what you would work on would be your interpretation of that, and learning a way to look at that so that you wouldn't take your peace away. So that you could still maintain your peace, because if you can maintain your peace, then you become a portal and a force for peace in the world. Because staying upset about it is still keeping the conflict energy going. It's as much as the people bombing everybody. Okay, so at the Course level, that's why I say one of the best ways to undermine the resistance is to continually reduce it to perception. That the Course is always talking about my perception of whatever is going on. And at this level, we're not even being asked to try to understand or accept how there's any direct connection between me and the war in Iraq, or me and a school shooting. So the answer from a Course perspective is, don't even go there. Just go to, I want to see that in such a way that'll bring more peace and more love into the experience. Does that make sense to everybody? Because a lot of times when we say stuff like this book is about forgiving and releasing and letting go, the person will immediately try to forgive the person who they felt like they were harmed and abused by the most, which immediately, in most cases, makes them give up because they can't do it. You know, if you were molested as a child and you feel traumatized by that, or if you were shot or something horrible happened to you, your ego is going to say, as soon as you hear forgiveness, it's going to say, I should be trying to forgive the person who I see is hurting me the most. And then the truth would tell you, no, you begin with the person that took your parking space. You put the person or the situation that's most extreme at the end of the list. And so the ego part of us, the part that wants us to stop before we get started, it will take the most difficult concepts and the most difficult situations and try to bring those to the forefront. But it would do it in a way that it seems like I'm just, and a lot of times, like and sincerely, I'm trying to get more information. But really what's happening is the ego is trying to start off at where the greatest separation would be, or the greatest block, to shut the person down. And fortunately, we're conscious enough to catch that. Because when I first started with these concepts, personally, the same concepts that everyone generally tell me are the hardest concepts to accept were the exact same ones that were hard for me. The weird thing that happened was the more I studied and the more I worked on myself and the more I was introduced to new levels of myself and new levels of conscience, then all of a sudden, all of those concepts that seemed like they were so unbelievable and impossible started to make sense to me, and I could start to see my connection. But it happened out of a natural progression of my own self-exploration, you know. And so that's what's so cool about it. If you keep moving in the direction that you're moving in, then all of those kinds of questions are going to be answered. Just like you were saying about, you know, whether or not a person invites something in their life. The direction that you're going in guarantees that the answer to that will come, but it will come in a way that will be acceptable to you and peaceful to you. And that's what I like. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay to take our time about how we deal with it and to bring those ideas up, because those are the kind of ideas that people always bring up. What about the starving children in Africa? What about the Holocaust? You know, those are the first ones you're gonna go to.
You did a really good job of answering that. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, it's my goal is to join. And it's funny. It's like if your goal is to join, it's just something happens in the communication. You know, it's like the goal isn't to be right. Or the goal isn't to try to get somebody to believe something before they're ready to, you know. The goal is to have something come through me that allows you to feel enough peace to open yourself up to further explore the issue for yourself. Because that's where the power is going to come from. When you go, aha, no matter what it is. Well, actually, I like the idea that the thing I can work on is my perception of the situation. And I like being told, Earl, don't start with Iraq. You know, because all that would do would be to emphasize my helplessness. Right. You know, it's like one of the members of my family went through a very tragic experience a few weeks ago, my sister. And it's been a really, really tough experience for her. And she called me yesterday, and she called me because she felt like I was the one person that she could talk to that might really give her another way to look at it. But at the same time, she waited until, like people do, until she was in her lowest point. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the way people sometimes see me. It's like, when I tried everything else on earth, then I get an astrology reading from Earl. You know what I'm saying? So then he's supposed to like pull this magic, you know, thing, this magic thing out of here, because I've done everything. Maybe I ought to go to Earl or die, you know? It's like, now I can go to the weird healing processes, you know? So I'm going to come talk to Earl today, you know, which is cool. That's all right. But, so she did that. And so I was like, so I took a breath, because in my mind, my human Earl self was going, I don't know where, you know how some people can just tell you so much stuff that's going on that's just horrible from the ego worldly perspective, and you go, what the world am I going to say? You know what I'm saying? It's like you're talking about performance anxiety. You know, it's like, it was deep, you know. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to say? And then I did what the Course said to Earl, first of all, you know, you know, just listen, and your job is to create a safe enough space for her to share all of her feelings, because she's probably been trying to be strong for everybody around her, and she's probably been receiving tons of advice from everybody about what to do and how. So you could actually just be the person that she feels innocent enough and recognized enough that she can totally express all of her feelings without feeling like you would misperceive her power or who she really is. And so I just went into a listening posture and just constantly encouraging her to share. And it was funny. It's like when she was able to do that, I don't know how to explain it. I could psychically feel an opening. It's like on the other side of all that stuff she needed to share was the part of her that was really ready to hear another way and really join. And so even without me even consciously thinking of it, I found myself, it's almost like having words delivered to say. It was the best way I could explain it. I mean, I was amazed that when you've all had those experiences where you can't even believe it's you that's telling you, you know, you don't even have that much sense. You know what I'm saying? So you like getting all the credit, but you like going, oh my God, where is this coming from? Because that happens a lot in my classes. It's like I'm quiet a lot when I first walk in, because I'm having to get Earl's ego out of the way and realize that I'm safe and realize it's okay to sit up here and let it come through me. You know, because basically my personality is introverted and bashful and shy. And so anyway, so I've just learned how to just breathe, be true, tell myself the truth, and then let the other part of me, because it's part of me too, it's a part of me too. So anyway, I saw that. And so what I've noticed is that tends to work a lot. Like when someone's in panic or they're upset, if you don't look at it as, what is it that I'm supposed to say that's so wise, but just to say, how can I create a safe space for this person to communicate? You'd be amazed at how that's all they really want most of the time, is just somebody to let them talk without interrupting them, without trying to fix them. And once they do it, like the Course in Miracles teaches, right behind the fear is the love and the sanity. So that once they can get it out, you know, then you'll reach their same mind. But the average human won't do that. The average human will go, you try to say a sentence and they'll jump in. And they'll tell you this is what it's, you know, what's wrong with it or what needs to be changed. You shouldn't say that syllable. You should say that. Don't say not. Say that's a negative. Don't say I am not a body. Say I am spirit. You know, they're going to always have whatever you say. They got their metaphysical, I call them Dr. Corrector. That, you know, their whole purpose in life is to correct everyone around them. You know, and they think that people like that. You know, they really do. They really think that people like someone telling them you're wrong all the time, right? So anyway, the reason why I can say this is because I was a master at it. I did it relentlessly, and yet I would wonder, why did I have to have a lot of friends? Because I was a nice guy, you know, and I was, you know what I'm saying? And I realized, well, they were probably doing like you do now, you know, which is you just move away from that person, especially if you try to say something about it and they don't hear you. You just move, and that's very prevalent in New Thought. That's very prevalent in people who see themselves as being on a spiritual path, is that we turn into correctors for each other. And it's hard to carry on a conversation. Really. It's funny. It's just when so people say, well, why are you so quiet? You know, it's like, well, obviously all I'm supposed to do is listen. Because everybody else, all they're supposed to do seem to be is talk. So I'm going to listen. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's like, all you want to do is ask me what I'm saying long enough for you to have another point of correction. I don't think so. You know what I'm saying? Because I've said 10 things and you corrected 10 of them. So you're using me to fuel your conversation and your sense of self-esteem and your healing and all of that, you know. So it's funny when you kind of like see the game of your own ego, and you know your ego is the same way, and that's how you keep from making it be separate, because you're only seeing, the Course said the only ego can even see ego. So it's not like my higher self is seeing my lower self. My higher self don't even see my lower self. It's my lower self seeing my lower self. It's my lower self fighting with itself. It's my lower self, you know, the same mind that tells you to do something stupid is the same mind that talk about you after you've done it. You know, it's the same part. It's the exact same part of your mind that's doing both of them. You know. Go ahead and have an extra piece of pack. Yeah, maybe. Fuck you, had an extra piece of pack. See, you don't have no self-discipline. You know what I'm saying? That's the same part of your mind doing both of them. And when you realize that, that's when you can forgive yourself. It's like, oh, okay, I see this game. you know, because who knows better than me what it make me feel bad. So if I want to feel bad, of course the part of me that knows all my weaknesses is going to tell me to do the one thing that would make me feel bad about myself. So would the higher spirit do it? Of course not. I can just see the higher consciousness in me trying to think of ways to trap me. Of course not. It's the all being done by the same part of the mind. And I love knowing that my spiritual self is never getting involved with the insane game that my ego is playing with itself. You know, and when you start to see that, you stop trying to get rid of your ego, and you stop trying to condemn your ego, and you just start watching it and not letting it direct your actions. You don't repress it. You know, you go ahead, if you're angry, you go ahead and admit, you know, I'm really angry. I could have really smacked that person upside the head. That's really what I felt like doing. You know, I just wanted this one good time, Lord. I know it just would have been in karma every time they deserved it. You know, so that's why they attracted me. But if you're conscious, you know that that's nobody but you. So you know that whatever you do to someone else, if it's nothing but you, then sooner or later you're going to be on the flip side of it and be the receiver. Because you're both of them. If it's nothing but me, you know what I'm saying? If I smack my face, then I got the experience of my face being smacked, and I got the experience of being the one who smacked it. Because it's my face. And that's what we forget about. If we're not in a world of separation, and we really are one, how in the world could anything you be experiencing not somehow be connected to yourself if it's all you? And so the Course says that's why we love to be separate. That's why we love the idea of being separate. Because that way we can feel like we never have to experience whatever it is we do or whatever somebody else is experiencing. That's the advantage of being separate. You got a stomach ache, I don't have to feel it. You got through a problem with your child, I don't have to know nothing about it. That's the advantage of being separate, is that I can isolate myself off, and I can say I'm not like anybody else in the world. And that does give me a sense of specialness. And that's what the book is saying. That's what everybody wants. They want to feel different. They want to feel special. So we have to forget our oneness in order to feel special. But when you recognize your oneness, you still have your difference, because we're physical. But now you start using your specialness as a way to bring more joy and love into the world. Because that'll be your own special way of bringing the light in that no one else can do it just the way you do it. Then you get a chance to be special but not be jamming yourself up. I'm still, you know, I'm studying the Course. It's still going to stop me from looking like I got a separate body from you. But I could also be the experience of a loving African-American toward people who need to know that they exist. You know what I'm saying? It's like I can use my difference. I love music. Well, I can play some music that really furthers my goal as a teacher. You know, so I'm still using everything I learned. I learned astrology before I got in the Course. Well, Spirit is teaching me ways to interpret charts that still bring home the same point and empowers people. So it's not like you have to sacrifice the things that you have physically because you're waking up. It's just that finally you'll be in a relationship with them where you don't judge yourself about them, so you can enjoy them more because they won't be a reflection of your value. I don't think I don't have value because I'm not driving the latest car. Now, does that mean that I would love to drive the latest car? Sure. But not if I'm aware about paying for it, because then it's messing with my peace. So whatever I can have in a way that it maintains my peace, I'm totally willing to have it. But the minute that I think it's going to be something that I'm going to use to take my peace away, and it's not that important anyway, in the scheme of things, it really don't matter, I just need to get over here to the class. Whether I get over here to class in a 1950 car or a 2006 car, I need to get to the class. You see what I'm saying? So the purpose of the car is to move me from one point to another. So when you get conscious, you're much more into what your purpose is than the form you get to your purpose through. So yeah, if somebody wants to bring me to class in a limousine, great. Now, am I going to be crying and feel like I'm not a good spiritual teacher because I don't have a limousine? No. You know, because your spiritual development is based on how much you maintain your center, not on what you have in the world. You see, that's the difference between judging yourself by spiritual values and judging yourself by worldly values. So there'll be a lot of people on the spiritual path that's really beating themselves up because they say, well, if I was really getting this spiritual stuff, by now I should have gotten 3 raises on my job. And if I was really getting this spiritual stuff, I still wouldn't have the same body image. If I still was doing spiritual stuff, I would have had my soulmate. So what they're doing is they're judging their spiritual progress by worldly ego values. And you come up short every time. And so be careful about that. How could I still be really getting spiritual truth and I still have this health condition that I haven't been able to get rid of? So evidently I must not really be accepting the truth because I still got this problem. Because they still think that the truth is based on outer appearances. Instead of realizing that, you know, if you're waking up, you judge by how much inner peace you have, not by what things you're manifesting outwardly. You may have, before you came here, for all you know, you could have set it up where you were going to learn, a person could have set it up where they were going to learn how to give themselves peace as a quadriplegic. So therefore, no matter what healing anybody would have tried to do, they never would have walked again. Because their goal wasn't to walk. Their goal was to learn how to see not being able to walk differently. But people in the world would be judging them going, well, if you were really that spiritual by now, you should be doing a 100-yard dash if you're doing the course right. So don't think that you may not be being extraordinarily successful at your soul purpose by whatever your physical situation seems to be right now. Don't fall for that one. That's a biggie. That's a big one. So, anyway, I don't let my subject matter get in the way of what I have to say. Yeah, so we just... So that's, all right, so I'm trying to get to one paragraph. Let's see. That's for the fun of it. Okay, it says, what is the single requisite for this shift in perception? That's great, okay? It says, it's simply this, the recognition that sickness or not right-mindedness is of the mind. It has nothing to do with the body. Now, then it goes on to say, well, okay, if you make the recognition that it's all about your mind, what is it going to cost you? The Course says, well, when you really realize it's just your mind, it's going to cost the whole world you see. Because the world will never again appear to rule you. Think about it. If my whole perception of reality is based on everything being bigger than me, and then I flip it around to realizing that it's my mind that's determining everything that I see, then that's cost me the whole world I used to see. Because I can never look at my world the same way again. So it literally cost me my whole world in that way. Okay? Then it goes, he said, for with this recognition that your mind is the power, and I'm just, you know, qualifying it. He says, with this recognition, its responsibility plays where responsibility belongs. Not with the world, but on the person who looks on the world and sees the world as it is not. In other words, everyone is looking on what they choose to see. You know the old half full, half empty glass thing? I see it all the time. I'm choosing the way I want to see everything. And he says, the world is doing nothing to you. And the Course is saying the world, and when it says the world, it's talking about your perception. Okay? Because your perception actually is your world. That's the world you live in, right? So when it says the world, a lot of times people go into, well, like it's just talking about the world. I'm responsible for the world. And it's really saying, no, you're responsible for your false perception. If you are seeing things in a way that doesn't bring you peace and you insist on continuing to see it that way, you are the one that's responsible for your world. So when you look at the world as your perception, it doesn't become such a big, overwhelming thing. Like you hear the word world, our first instinct is to think the world. But when I think the world being my perception, then it becomes more doable. That's one of the ways you can tell if you're interpreting it correctly, is that when you're interpreting it correctly, you actually feel like less is being asked of you. If you interpret the Course and you ever feel like more is being asked of you, that's your hint that your ego has interpreted it. Because what like people would say, well, why don't they just say your perception instead of saying the world? Because it's trying to give us new interpretations of all of these words so that when we hear these words, we can give ourselves another interpretation of those words, and then the world actually begins to reinforce our beliefs all day. Like when I hear somebody saying, you know, if you attack somebody, you're going to hell. Well, the Course says hell, definition for hell, would be fear. Okay, so when I hear the minister going, if you attack somebody, you're going straight to fear. See, then I can listen to his sermon and get all kinds of truth out of it. Why? Because I'm interpreting it the way the Course taught me to interpret. So what happens is you'll be walking around in the world, and the world will be constantly reinterpreting all the truth that you're studying, and people don't even know they're doing it. It's really fun when that starts to happen, but it's like learning a new language. You know, so now world doesn't mean what it used to mean to me, or Christ doesn't mean what it used to mean to me, or heaven doesn't mean what I was taught in church. So when people read this book, and they see the Christian terminology a lot of times, and the masculine terminology, it totally turns them off because they're projecting their interpretation of son, or their interpretation of him. And they don't, if they read the Course, they know that the him is not a man. And, you know, so what? Now, I'm in a world where I'm seeing those kind of terms, right? So rather than fight every Bible that's in the world, why not be able, when I hear someone say those terms, give myself a definition that frees me from the limited meaning that they have? See, that's what the Course is doing. It's trying to take what we've already learned and then give us a new interpretation of it. And when a person begins to get that, then the Course stops being so hard to read. You know, because it's hard because you're projecting your own feelings about it. Because that was one of my challenges when I was first introduced to the book. You know, I had been into metaphysics, and I had very carefully made everything kind of a neutral gender. You know, I wasn't male, it wasn't female, it was always the light or the spirit or the it or the ears or the death. You know, but anything, you know, because I was trying to get away from that. And then somebody said, you get to read this book, it's awesome. And I'm looking at all this masculine stuff and all this Christian stuff, and I was a recovering Baptist. And it was like, And then this voice inside of me said, you might want to take a look at how enlightened you really are if a word sends you into terror. You might just want to take a look at it. You see yourself as being this open-minded person, but then you look down at a book and you freak out because it's written in a certain language. That might mean you're not as open-minded as you think you are. And I went, uh-oh. And, Earl, don't you have some father issues? Yeah. Well, this could give you a whole nother interpretation of father and a whole nother interpretation of the masculine energy. So what the Course does is use masculine terminology to describe what's essentially feminine content. So what it actually does is mix the masculine and the feminine in such a beautiful way that, like you might see a masculine word, but when the book tells you the definition of that word, it'll almost always have what we characteristically associate with the feminine in surrendering, being open, being receptive. So the Course is literally reprogramming our minds at the same time that we're reading it. That's why people say it's so hard to read, because you actually have to change your mind to read it. So that's why it can't be like those other books where you go, bup, 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 whoop, where's the next one? Bup, 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 whoop, there's the next one. So then you become one of those people who fall in love with instructions, and they call themselves students. Did you follow me? You know those people, they go from book to 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 book. But what they're doing is they fall in love with instructions, because all the books are just telling you what to do. So when they get through with one, they'll read another one and they think that's spiritual progress. Right? It's like trying to build a building, and you go down to the hardware store and get some hammers and some nails and stuff, and then you throw them on the floor. And then you wonder why the building isn't getting built. That's why all these books that people got. The Course doesn't work. Why? I got the book. You know. And then what most people do is they go, I know why the building isn't being built. They go back and get some more. Now, hammers and nails and plies. You know. That's the other book. Now I got the power now. Why isn't, you know what I'm saying? Y'all know that we all do it. It's so funny. And then actually get upset, right? We get upset that it hasn't manifested. So what I suggest to people that have really had progress is that, number one, all the books that are really spiritual truth are going to be saying the same thing. They're just saying it in their own way. It's the exact same thing, all of them, right? What determines your path would be the one you were willing to do. Because all of them saying the same thing. Which book did you read that actually inspired you to try to actualize something it was saying? And which book did you read that you enjoyed but you put on the bookshelf and you never picked up again? You see what I mean? That's the way it was with me with the Course. I had read hundreds of New Thought books, literally. I was a junkie. But for some reason, when I got to this material, I really wanted to forgive. And I really wanted to take responsibility. And I really wanted to let go. I found myself actually wanting to attempt to do it. And I went, oh, okay. So some people, I said, I do the Course in Miracles, and they'll tell me all the reasons why they hate it and how they think it's horrible. And, you know, usually those are people who never read it. And they went to class with people who never read it. And then all the people who knew nothing about it sit around and discuss it. How many of y'all been to those kind of Course classes? Or any true classes? Everybody that's discussing it don't really know what they're talking about. And then everybody gets disgusted with the material that no one had any kind of real dedication to or understanding. Okay? So, whatever it is that turns you on, that motivates you, that moves you, that's your path. That's your path. Even if it challenges you sometimes, but you just can't put it down. That's your path. This thing hooked me 25 years ago this year. I've literally read one book practically the last 25 years because no book that anybody has recommended to me since has been as meaningful to me. Even though it was entertaining and everything, it still didn't get me. It didn't make me want to do it. This keeps revealing itself at brand new levels. So it's not like I'm reading the same book either. It's like, okay, girl, you ready for another level of the veil being lifted? Okay, here's another Course in Miracles book. And you need to be the same words that have been on the page all the time, and you would have never saw them. It's amazing. It's amazing. So if we walk out of here today with the recognition that our perception isn't doing anything to us, we're the one that's making our perception. If we were to walk out of here today saying, you know, what's going on right now really doesn't have anything to do with my body or my physical circumstances. What's going on right now has something to do with my mind. And if I was to get to the point that I can start saying, I have no use, there is no use to me in going through this suffering. This pain has no use for me. I don't want to learn through pain. I want to learn through joy. Because sometimes people defend pain, right? And they'll go, no pain, no gain. If you don't struggle, you don't grow. Well, they don't know that when they're saying that, they're ordering up the struggling situations to give them a chance to grow, and then they complain about it. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It's like the same people that complain about the hardships they're going through, when I tell them something like, there is a way for you to have that same lesson without going through pain, and it's okay to have an easy life, you watch them almost freak out. Because if you had a life of a lot of pain and struggle, the last thing a part of your mind wants to accept is that you didn't have to go through all of that. You know what I'm saying? So something like a part of the mind has to go, but it did serve me a real good purpose to be born, da, 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 da. And then the Course says, well, what you do when you look at that is you go, that was for my own best interest. And that's how you did it, and that's cool. Say that about it. Say all of the hardships that I went through as a child was for my own best interest. That is the absolute right way to see it if you insist on looking at it that way. But don't think that's the only way you can look at it. And that was the breakthrough for me, was beginning to get, my God, there really is another way to look at it other than the way I look at it. I'm telling about it. That's a big secret. But for real, I might not really know everything. For real, there really might be a solution to this that I haven't thought of. And just because I haven't thought of it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And my friends haven't thought of it either, because that's why they're my friends. We all just alike. So sometimes you have to get told out of your sphere of influence if you really want to answer. You know, that's why people get some of the deepest advice on the airline, like talking to somebody that they'll never see again, going from city to city. That person has no investment in what you're talking about, and you don't have any investment in them, and y'all give each other real honest communication. It's amazing how when you really ask for help, a lot of times the greatest assistance that you receive will seem to come through the people that you least expected it through. And the people that you most expected to help would be the ones that's not there. I mean, have y'all had that experience? Yeah. We've all had that experience. And it's a metaphysical reason for that. One is full of investment. One is full of expectations. One is full of scripts, which kind of blocks the energy. And the other one is something. The answer coming to you through who it can come through, and not the people I've decided it should come through, which is my friends and relatives. Seems the same thing. I had decided on the form. Instead of just saying, I really want to be helped. You know, I'm trying to hitchhike, but even though 6 cars stopped, who were safe, I didn't get in the car because it wasn't Cousin Joe. And I'm looking for Cousin Joe. But all these people drove up who were willing to give me a lift. You know, all things equal, and they're not some kind of demented, you know, Freddy Krueger kind of person. You know what I'm saying?
Some Jason could show up, you know. If you show up in a ski mask, don't get in, okay? Just want to give you a little hint, you know. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the person driving the ski mask, you might not want to get in the car with him. So that's what we want to do today. We want to kind of like walk out with the idea that our world is our perception, that as we let go of the value and suffering, then we'll let it go. And what we're getting upset about, we know that's our idol. And don't beat yourself up about that. It's just for information purposes only. You know, oh, okay, this is what I'm kind of, this is why I got some charge around. Oh, okay, this is something that I really see is valuable to me to keep this attitude. You know, is there some kind of payoff in keeping this one? Because I'm really, really afraid to let this one go. So you just kind of give yourself those kind of messages. Wow, it's 1 o'clock. All right, so thank you for coming. I'm going to do the love offering. I'm going to pass the basket around, and I'm taking care of the universe through people. And I appreciate your sharing with me. Tomorrow at 12 noon. All right, so here's the prayer. I ask the universe that today, God, Spirit, that today be used to remove all blocks within us to the awareness of our safety, our joy, our peace, our happiness, our prosperity, that any block in our mind be released, that be cleared up, so that the love that we are and the power that we are can manifest in this day. And help us remember that when we get ready to get upset and we get angry and we feel that temptation to attack and we feel that little twinge inside, let that be a trigger for us to remember to breathe and be quiet. When you feel yourself getting ready to lose your temper, let that be a hint to breathe, take a deep breath, and be quiet. And then we'll watch a miracle happen right in that situation. So be it.